Best Scoops is proudly produced by News Scoop.
Good day to you and welcome to Biz Scoops for business news, local and international. I'm Barry Murray. On today's show, South Africa's income per person is now lower than it was nearly two decades ago, and corporates are finding it increasingly difficult to make a business case for South Africa. The economist Waldo Krichel talks about the current low price of Bitcoin. In international business news, Ford reports an extra $900 million tariff last year. In investment news, we talk about the use of stable coins and programmable wallets to simplify and secure global B2B transactions. And we talk to the Strategic Partnership and Growth Manager, Africa and Europe, of the company Mineral Technologies, Jolene van Rensburg.
A look now at local business news.
New economic data shows South Africa's income per person is now lower than it was nearly two decades ago. Economists say weak growth, electricity shortages, and labor market challenges have contributed to the decline in per capita GDP. South Africa has also lagged behind other emerging economies since joining BRICS in 2010. Analysts warn that years of load shedding and energy system failures have caused long-term economic damage. Experts say modernizing the country's electricity infrastructure will be essential to improving growth and living standards. South Africa's most recent corruption perception score has remained unchanged at 41 out of 100 in Transparency International's 2025 Corruption Perception Index, keeping the country below the global average. The index measures perceived levels of public sector corruption worldwide. Corruption Watch says the stagnant scores suggest limited progress in tackling corruption in recent years. Sub-Saharan Africa remains the lowest scoring region overall. Despite the findings, some positive governance developments have been noted, including South Africa's removal from the Financial Action Task Force grey list and ongoing investigations into alleged corruption within the criminal justice system. And corporates are finding it increasingly difficult to make business cases for South Africa. Chris Hunting of the Center for Risk Analysis shares his insights on the matter.
Last week, the Volkswagen Group Africa chair, Martina Biena, said that 2026 would be a quote-unquote make-or-break year for the company in South Africa. She explained that South Africa's hostile policy environment was making it hard for Volkswagen to make a compelling case for investment in the context of fierce global competition. Volkswagen employs around 4,000 people in South Africa. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal addressed the same theme last week, writing that, quote, the corporate exodus from what was supposed to be Africa's breakout economy is accelerating, propelled by a toxic cocktail of corruption, lawlessness, and poor infrastructure, end quote. Soft measures like presidential investment conferences and the euphoria of the government of national unity will not be enough to reverse this sentiment shift. That is going to take hard choices to make South Africa's environment far more attractive than it is now.
We now have the president of the Economic Society of South Africa, Professor Waldo Krichel, on the line with us. Waldo, there was a sharp decline in the price of Bitcoin recently. Why is that? And should everyone now invest in Bitcoin or not?
The value of Bitcoin in dollar terms is about 40% lower than at its most recent peak. In 2022, bankruptcies and scandals wiped out about two-thirds of the industry's market capitalization. But the so-called Bitcoin winter passed and the price rose again. The question is whether you should now buy the dip or whether the 2026 crypto winter might be different. I should first say that no one knows because there are no fundamental factors to analyze. Bitcoin's value is about vibes, but there are analysts who give us a few things to think about. One factor is that Bitcoin did not turn out to be digital gold. Uncertainty about the dollar's value has driven up the gold price over the past year, but Bitcoin looks like a technology stock. Another is that companies that buy and hoard Bitcoin don't look so good at the moment. The last is that President Trump's influence may now have played out. There were big expectations that his plans around deregulation and a Bitcoin sovereign wealth fund would keep the price high. But that price is now lower than it was before his 2024 election. If you're comfortable that Bitcoin is simply one of the high-risk elements of your portfolio, that's perfectly fine. But as Davi always says, please don't spend the bread money on it.
Thanks very much, Professor Waldo Krichel, President of the Economic Society of South Africa. He's also an economics associate at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Prof. Krichel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify or Anchor FM.
Time now to take a look at your international business news.
The U.S. car manufacturer Ford says tariff costs were significantly higher than expected last year after changes to a U.S. government tariff relief program. The company says it paid about $2 billion in tariffs in 2025, roughly double initial estimates. Ford also reported a major financial impact linked to scaling back some electric vehicle plans amid weaker demand. Despite recording a quarterly loss, the company posted stronger than expected revenue and expects improved profits this year as it focuses on hybrid, petrol-powered, and smaller electric vehicles.
Coming up next, our investment segment delves into the world of finance and wealth building.
We're now joined by the Chief Commercial Officer of the company Damisa, Thomas Pinter. Can you describe how Damisa uses stablecoins and programmable wallets to simplify and secure global B2B transactions and what advantages this brings over traditional banking systems?
So we are agnostic to stablecoins. Whatever stablecoin customers of ours would like to use, we can accept everything. Programmable wallet is an escrow service which we are developing as we speak. And obviously, because in the whole commodity space, there's an interesting sector of trusts, and we try to help that with our programmable wallet so that you have a smart contract in place. And even, you know, depending on the trigger point, we can have, third parties going in, checking the quality of the commodity to make sure that everything is fine and secure. And then obviously we can move the money onwards to the chain and then at the end pay out.
Before we say goodbye, we're joined by the strategic partnership and growth manager, Africa and Europe, of the company Mineral Technologies, Jolene van Rensburg. She talks about the company's contribution in the mining and related sectors. Jolene, Mineral Technologies positions itself as a long-term partner in fine mineral beneficiation, focused on maximizing returns and resource recovery for clients. How do you approach building strategic partnerships that drive mutual value for both Mineral Technologies and clients across mining and related sectors?
So ultimately, we build partnerships by understanding the ore body, the business drivers, and the client's real pressure points. Once we know that, we co-design solutions that boost recovery and returns. It's never transactional, it's long-term value on both sides.
The company highlights its 80-plus years in the industry and expertise in metallurgical testing, process design, engineering, and equipment. Can you share an example of how you have collaborated with clients to deliver a pioneering solution and what business lessons you've taken from that experience?
Certainly. We recently helped a client replace underperforming fine recovery equipment. By redoing the test work and redesigning the flow sheet, we lifted recovery and fixed their bottlenecks. The lesson we learned is that you have to stay data-driven, you have to collaborate deeply, and don't be scared to challenge the old way of doing things.
Waste less by recovering more is a guiding principle at Mineral Technologies. From your perspective, how does this philosophy influence your business development strategy and conversations with potential partners about sustainability and operational efficiency?
Great question. So that philosophy typically drives almost every business development conversation we're involved with. Clients want more value from what they used to call waste. We show them how better separation increases revenue, cuts impact, and extends mine life. Sustainability and profitability now go hand in hand.
And that was the strategic partnerships and growth manager, Africa and Europe, of the company Mineral Technologies, Jolene van Rensburg. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on BizScoops. I'm Barry Murray. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of BizScoops, proudly produced by News Scoop.